Brandon Yan of One City. Welcome to the Cambier Port Council interview series. For those who don't know who you are, where did you come from and how did you end up in politics?
Where do I come from? So I think most folks in this on this campaign trail always start with like, well, I was born in Vancouver. I was raised actually in Langley out in the burbs and mostly raised there, except for a slight stint where my family moved to the Caribbean, which is a longer story. But for the last couple of years, I've been working in nonprofits. So I worked at the Vancouver Foundation in Children, Youth, and Family Granting, and now currently at Out on Screen, which does two things, which is the Vancouver Queer Film Festival and the Out in Schools program, which is what I run. So I'm the education director there. And I guess politics for me, I've always been aware of politics as someone who is a queer person growing up in the suburbs. But for me, this time around, I think that because of the change on city council, lots of folks stepping down, the change in financing, finance reform, gave me a little boost of confidence to say, well, maybe now is the time to try this. But also, I think that because of the political atmosphere elsewhere in the world, I think that I just like good people need to step up. And hopefully I'm one of those good people. Yeah.
And so you joined One City, this startup political party. What is One City for those who don't know about it? It's not one of the traditional parties in Vancouver. And why did you get attracted to them as opposed to, say, Cope or Vision, who are maybe in the same area roughly?
Sure. I mean, One City started in 2014 as an offshoot political party from folks, I think, came from both Cope and Vision and some other folks who basically didn't feel like they had a political home in any of the existing political parties. And I became aware of them when RJ Aquino ran for council. I really liked RJ and the campaign they ran then. And so just been following them here and there. And why I kind of fell into One City in some ways was they literally asked me for coffee. It was Kara and RJ, two folks of color who I trust very well. And we just went for a coffee and had a conversation about politics. And at the end of the meeting, they're like, well, you know, if you'd like, we'd love if you wanted to run in the nomination race. We like what you do, what you bring to the table. And I took a little while to think about it because I wasn't sure if politics is where I wanted to go, and just kind of pulled the trigger and decided to do it because the nomination campaign for them was quite early. And so in order to win, you need to sign up members and all the things. So I need to make that decision quickly. But I would explain One City as a progressive left-leaning party. What got me into them also was their statement of values that firmly states that they're rooted in social justice, anti-oppression, which is quite academic language, but for me was a necessary thing to see visibly written as a kind of a contract between myself and the party and vice versa. So the idea of, I think a lot of young people are really averse to joining political parties because you don't want to be, I don't know, pigeonholed or attached to a party that might make policies that are actually against your own values. And so I kind of use the statement of values as a contract.
So there's two of you running. There's you and Christine Boyle. If you both get elected on October 21st and you're set to join council, you won't hold a majority. Mm-hmm. So how will either just you or just Christine or the both of you get forward the ideas that you're trying to champion?
Yeah, I think that's, we were, you know, from the beginning, we knew that we were obviously going to form a majority. So for us, the whole campaign has been looking at the folks who are allies, the folks who were endorsed also by the Vancouver District Labor Council. So the Greens, Cope, Vision, Kennedy Stewart, and we have endorsed Kennedy Stewart, and he's endorsed us in our housing plan. And so looking at ways in which we can already start to see where the connections make sense in policy. And so that's kind of how we're running our campaign is more so not competing against any of those folks, because we know that if we are elected, we'll need their help to pass legislation. Yeah, so I think that we are running this campaign under the basis of that knowing we have to collaborate, because otherwise we might just be sitting opposition and getting nothing done.
One of the big things is everyone's talking about the housing crisis we're in. What do you see as the actual crisis and what's your solution?
Lord. Capitalism? But honestly, it's the leaving a public policy issue like housing to the market is essentially where I think the disconnect is. So despite the fact that housing being a very, like, like I said, a public policy issue where we, the city, the federal government, the provincial government have all these things on housing, but we leave the actual delivery to the private market, I think is the big disconnect for folks. And I think for other things like healthcare or education, we don't necessarily let that happen. And so it's clear that we need the public sector to step up when it comes to access to housing and housing being a right. I think a lot of parties are talking about that. Even Vision's talking about housing as a right. And the only way we get there is through public means. And the only way we get to a quote unquote truly affordable housing, I'm literally air quoting here, is for the public to be at the table, because we've seen that, the market just can't provide that deep affordability that we're expecting. And then we get angry that they can't do that. So looking at ways in which, demand side measures, whether it be a land value capture tax that we're proposing, which is also a revenue generator as well, and also building supply around non-market co-op social housing.
So housing's not the only issue on people's minds. I mean, it's the biggest one, but many of the other issues out there, transportation, opioid crisis, reconciliation, what are the things besides housing that you're connecting most with and feel most passionately about?
I think for me, it's arts, culture, small business have been resonating with me a bit more than other issues. For someone who works in arts nonprofit, that's obviously, I have a bias towards arts and culture. But also the way in which our city is developed and developing, where we're putting a lot of pressure on our arterials, where our small businesses are, which is also where our cultural institutions are. And, places like Chinatown, where I would say that for me, I have no hand in the activism that's happening in Chinatown. But I'm a big supporter of like the Hua Foundation and the Youth Collaborative for Chinatown, and seeing the amount of effort and work they're putting into that neighborhood. I just hope that the city, come October 20th can recognize that and support that for further. I know that the UNESCO heritage, proposal is moving forward with the provincial government. But I think it's super important around, keeping Chinatown. And I know that there are other candidates who mention it's not Spaghetti Town or whatever it is that Justin McElroy mentions. But it is important that I think that we support those unique things that make Vancouver Vancouver, I guess.
Well, let's move into a couple final personal questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of get off the politics for a moment.
Sure.
We've talked about Justin McElroy a bunch already for some reason. One of the things he did at the end of the summer was ran this poll, this bracket for the unofficial ambassador of Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
and Canuck the Crow ultimately won.
Yep.
Who would be your pick for Vancouver's unofficial ambassador?
I kind of think, Expo Ernie, but not fresh Expo Ernie, like Expo Ernie today, where he's kind of in a landfill and just beaten and bruised over the last 32 years. kind of how a lot
he's
of people
seen some
feel.
Things.
Yeah, he's seen some things. And I think that's how a lot of people feel about Vancouver. As someone who grew up in this region, it's, we're kind of used to it. The whole frog in boiling water metaphor, I guess. I don't know. For some reason, a weird look into the future from the 80s, slightly battered and bruised around the edges.
Well, that leads perfectly into my second question, which is Vancouver has changed a lot, especially since Expo, and we've lost a lot of things. A lot of the city has changed for the better or worse. But what's one thing that you wish we could have back that we've lost in that time?
Oh, one thing, again, it leans to my arts and culture leanings, but it's some of those old theaters. If you look at the old opera house that we lost, I think, which is now Pacific Center Mall or one of the towers downtown, those cultural spaces that, a lot of big cities have, these grand opera houses. I mean, we have, the Orpheum, and the Vogue to a lesser extent is not necessarily a grand place, but it has an Art Deco appeal to it. The Pantages, those kinds of spaces, I think that the city should have preserved better. And also given more access to people. I think that for me, it's why are we fighting so hard to stay here if we're letting all these cultural institutions, and I'm not talking about big C culture, we have the Vancouver Art Gallery, but we have lots of really great small festivals and small organizations doing so much important work that barely get any of the funding that these bigger institutions get. And it's when you think about a city like Toronto or Portland, and you visit, you always think of these smaller, weirder organizations that are doing things. And I just wish Vancouver had some more of those supports for these smaller organizations to do weirder, different, more interesting things in our kind of capital C culture. Yeah.
Great. Well, if people want to find out more about you or the One City campaign, where can they go?
They can go to onecityvancouver.ca.
All right. Thank you so much, Brandon.
Thank you.